All right. It is 6:01. We'll call this meeting to order. Thank y'all for coming tonight. And this meeting will be as long or as short as you all please it to be, as we will just do our best to get through this. I've provided you with a couple of things here. One is a nice little sheet that just kind of, all right, so Justice Pickett, when he was the chair of Budget and Finance in 2019, gave us a document that was, I don't know, 30 pages long or something like that. And I went through it and condensed it down to this one sheet. not saying that it was all bad information. I just wanted the very, very, very basics of really like what we have to do or and what our job is. And I don't want to necessarily sit here and read this to y'all, but I think I'll just read the first line and the last line. The quorum core exercises managerial oversight of the operations of the other constitutional offices by controlling the appropriations and personnel assigned to each department. So, yes, that's accurate, although a lot of times, I don't know if managerial oversight is the right word that I would use, but we approach it from a very high level. And then the last sentence I just want to say is this: the quorum court, through budgeting, sets the priorities for our county. So, and I've said it before in our meetings, is that the sheriff has to look out for the sheriff. The judge has to look out for the judge. Margaret has to look out for her offices. Everyone has to look out for their offices. And it's our job to look out for kind of everybody and the health of the county as a whole. Now, I don't want to say that there aren't people doing that, because there are. Scott does it. The judge does it. Margaret does it. Like, everyone does that. But ultimately, we have to keep that in mind as the quorum court. So I thought there's multiple different ways I thought about approaching this tonight, but I think I'm just going to approach it from what's going to happen 2 weeks from now when we meet to go over the first budgets and what that means and what that looks like. So although we're not going to go over on Thursday the county judge's budget, I want to start with that just to kind of show y'all what it means when you're looking at this, how to reference other documents to help you make decisions. So on page 1 of your budget book, you'll see the county judge's budget. And I think through this conversation, we will touch on all the different topics of funds and revenue sources and just all the different things.
Mr. Chairman, do you mind if I just jump in real quick?
Yes.
Have y'all been through your budget book pretty well and know kind of where everything is? So table of contents is going to be right off the bat, right? And just in case, I'm just going to go over it just in case you don't know. When you start with I, that's your revenue projection section, okay? That's Roman numeral I through VI, which would be 8, Roman numeral 8. And then there's a transfers page, okay? Then we're going to have on Roman numeral 11, we're going to have appropriation by fund, which is just reference. And that goes on to 12. Roman 13, we're going to do appropriations by department. Once again, more reference. So if you want to see what departments have what appropriations, it's right there for you. And then also very helpful on expenditures is Roman numeral 15, which is expenditure codes. And then you get into page 1. Okay, so that's the revenue section you're going to use very heavily. The rest of it's pretty much all reference. Okay, sorry to interrupt, Tyler.
That's perfect.
I just wanted a little bit of background on that.
Yes, thank you. So, like I said, the example we're playing is that you're sitting here Thursday night and this budget is put before you. This, and it won't, but the county judge's budget is before you. And so there is a motion to approve the county judge's budget. That's an example. Then what do you do? You know, how do you even look at that to go about making a decision on whether or not you think the things that you see in this budget are good to be asked for or not? There will be one slight change to what you see in front of you now and what you'll see when we go to debating the budgets, is that there will be an extra a third column out to the right that'll have numbers, and they'll either be in red or green. So red means that they're asking for more money, and then green means they're asking for less money. And so you'll see that in a third column going all the way down, including all the totals that it adds up. So at the top, Fund 1000, County General. We talked about that a little bit last week, what that means. We have so many different funds, and that goes back to what Scott was just telling us about. All this, starting at page I, it goes over all the projections for all the funds that we have. We have a lot of different funds. County General is the biggest fund that we keep a sharp eye out on because there's a lot of hands in County General. It's the one big pot of money, and there's a lot of hands in there. It's kind of like free-for-all money. It's not really bound to a whole lot. So if, you know, I don't know, anybody can get in there and get it. So that's why we keep a sharp eye on it.
I'm going to talk just a bit about County General. I spend 90%+ of my time on County General. Like Tyler said, that's general money. This court can do anything they want to with it, up to the point of saying we're not spending any of it or we're transferring it all to this fund or whatever. That's up to y'all. Now, I say that to say this. It's like a pie, okay? So you have a set number of dollars available, and all these different departments want a slice of that pie, okay? And so it's up to you to make the priority of this department has a bigger slice or this department has a bigger slice, or if we have revenue growth, of course, the pie gets bigger and everybody gets a little bit bigger slice. So that is really y'all's job to make those decisions, and they're tough decisions sometimes, you know, to prioritize one or over another, or to prioritize one commitment item over another. You know, that's y'all's job to make the decisions. My job is to give you the best information I possibly can so that you can make them, okay? So when I say I talk about County General all the time, that's the one to where, like Tyler was saying, there's a lot of different people, different departments that are coming and asking, and it's up to y'all to make the decision.
So I'm going to kind of make you flip back to page I, and kind of hold your spot there on page one, where you can see the projections for County General. And I think Scott did a good job of walking us through everything included in this projection last week. There's way more in this one than you can see than the normal ones. The other ones are just like, here's a projected revenue, but there's so much involved in County General that you can see all the things there. I'll point out just a couple of, now it's going to be all a little bit different next year, but the big things, Scott pointed them out, but I want to point them out again. On letter C, transferred to capital improvement fund, something that the quorum court started, and I don't know what year that was, 2016, 2015, 2014, when they started putting that $1 million back.
What this was payment, a savings essentially, for a justice building, and so they saved it for a justice building. Built the justice building, also took out a $5 million loan for the justice building, and then this money was paying that loan back. When that loan got paid off, we made a new fund and continued to save that $1 million a year over into a capital improvement fund for anything. I mean, once again, this is County General money. You can do anything with it you want. You can build new things. You can fix old things, and I think we've done both with it.
Yep.
At this point. Just not in front of me right now. I think there's roughly $5 million in 1810, not to get off track, but roughly $5 million in 1810. So it's where we are now, and that is your option to keep doing that or not. But I think we're in a good place financially to keep doing that. There's been years where it's been tight, but I think it's a good idea to keep doing it. But that's, once again, that's just my opinion. It's up to y'all.
Yep. And then the other variable here that we'll talk about is if you go over one column, you'll see that 12% recommended fund reserve, the state says, requires us to put back 10% as a recommended fund reserve in this quorum court. I don't know when they made that decision to bump that up to 12% just for County General, just to give a little extra cushion there. So that's kind of a variable that's assumed, but we can change that. That's something that the court can decide to change if they wish.
Okay. Once again, this is just out of being conservative with our money, okay? We have in the past had to get into that 2% when things have gotten tough. It's good to have it out there in order to have it. And I believe last year y'all y'all didn't even budget the full amount that was available, so there's really probably a 13 or 14% not used, even though some of it could have been. The state mandates 10% reserve, and that's just for, or really for funds in case you project the fund too high and the money doesn't come in, then the county's still okay. Okay, we've not been in that situation in some time. You'll see some funds through there that have zero holdback, and we do that on what we call pass-through funds and grant funds. If it's a pass-through money, we know the money's coming in, we know the money's going out. There's no need to lay back 10% reserve on. Same way with grant funds. Those grant funds have been committed by the grant, and they can spend all of those monies, and there's no need to hold back a reserve on.
So you'll see the first column there in this projection sheet is basically all the revenues that we can project. And those revenues, that column of revenues includes that first one, which is a fund balance, right? This is how much money we have in this bank account today. And then you add in all the rest, which are your revenues, to get the final line there, which is total funds available. You subtract the 12% fund reserve, and that gives you your available to appropriate. One important thing that we have to watch is, and then you can see the budget request goes in next to that. So you can say, okay, well, you've got $15 million available to appropriate, but we only requested a $13.2 million budget. Well, that's fantastic, and it is. But one thing, important thing to look at that number is, with the available to appropriate comes in that revenue source is that fund balance. So that at the very top of the page, that $4.7 million, which is what we have traditionally called carryover. It's money that we didn't spend in 2023, so it just got lumped over into 2024. And a situation that the county got in a while back, whenever we were getting severance taxes from oil and gas, and then when we weren't, is that we were living off of carryover. So we were expending more than we were revenuing, and we could afford it because we had extra money sitting in the bank. But over so many years, that extra money sitting in the bank keeps going lower and lower, and now we're out, and now we're having to cut budgets because that extra money isn't there.
And I'm not trying to step on Tyler. No, he says something. I'm just trying to kind of get a little bit, little add-on. So if we spend more in 1 year than we revenue, it's not terrible. Okay, we've got a nice little carryover here. If we spend 2 years more than we've revenue in 2 years, it becomes a little concerning. When we get into the third and fourth year, we've got to figure it out, right? So we don't necessarily, and there's a difference between spending 20% more than you revenue and 2% more than your revenue. You know, yeah. We can keep those numbers really close to where we're somewhat balanced out every year. I feel really good about it. You're going to hear me talk about what I project is a good budget number, okay? The number that you see here is going to allow you, probably for next year, is going to allow you somewhere in the $16 to $16.5 million range. You're going to hear me talk about really wanting to budget somewhere in about the 13.8, 13.9 budget range. And then if you have some sort of one-time expenditure, we can go and we can kind of take care of those kind of things. But these budgets that you know are going to come back year after year after year, you don't want those getting too bad far out of hand. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to give you that number today, but I will when we get into the budget season, when we start talking about county general budget and the overall county general budget.
So really when I look at this with County General, I see that 13251, the budget request, and I personally match it up with the total projected revenue, which is 13372. And I say, all right, our expenditures or our budget request, our appropriations are less than our revenues. So we are in a healthy position. That's personally how I look at it. Scott might say he would feel comfortable with you budgeting 105% or something like that over the revenue because of anticipated carryovers and other
things. Yeah, numbers. And that's, yeah. And just to speak on that really quick, and I've just kind of been, over the last few years, and I guess it's a stance I'm taking now or until something goes different, then I'm on a different way. I've been saying over the last few years that I'm comfortable at 108% of our revenue. Okay. Now, that's also including the $1 million that goes out. What it is currently, we're spending about 93% of our appropriation, county general. Okay, it's been a trend over the last 3-4 years, really 5 years, notwithstanding the 2020 year, which was the COVID year. I feel pretty comfortable in that because appropriation and expense, we're really, when it's the end of the day, we really care about expenditures versus revenues. You know, it's not so much appropriation. Going forward, when we look forward, we got to look at appropriation. But looking backward, we want to look at the expenditures versus the actual revenues. So knowing that typically our expenditures are not all the way 100% of our appropriation, I say, yeah, it's probably okay to go about 108. And so we'll just take what we have at projected revenue, and we'll multiply that, like I said, roughly around 8%. Kind of see where the number is, how it feels, and I'll have y'all a number where I'm comfortable. And some numbers I'm more comfortable with than others. Y'all get to a number that I'm maybe not as comfortable with, does not mean you cannot do it. That's up to you. That just means that I get a little bit nervous.
And I think you hit on a key thing there that I just want to make sure that we reiterate, which is, you know, we appropriate funds, and it's the department heads and the elected officials that expend the funds. So we can appropriate Scott to spend $20,000 next year on copy paper, and he's like, no, I'm good, I only need to spend $1,000, you know, and so that 19 rolls, looks on this like a carryover. So it's important for us probably maybe as well to just not overly appropriate. But that's where we lean on the elected officials. That's why they make up these budgets, because they know how much they're going to spend, and they want to be accurate in their spending as well. Do y'all have any questions on this before we flip back to the judge's budget? I'm going to introduce another piece of evidence here. Good? All right, so we're going to flip back to the judge's budget. I passed you out this other sheet of paper here with a staple in it. Faulkner County Summary Statement of Operation Expenditures. So this is just for the county judges. Well, the first two pages is the county judge's budget, and then we'll look at county road later, because that kind of paints another picture. But so as you're looking at the county judge's budget, you got the 2022 appropriation, just to give you a past idea, and then 2023 appropriation. So what we'll see when our first budget hearing is the appropriation that they had for 2023, and then the second column will be their 2024 budget request. And then that third column over to the side will be any difference between the 2023 and the 2024 budget request. So that if there's a number on general supplies here for the county judge, he asked for $17,000. If now he's asking for $20,000, right? It's going to have a little green or a red $3,000 there. And we can say, all right, well, judge, tell us why you need $20,000 more in supplies. You know, and he can tell us that, or we don't have to say that at all. But with the extra sheet here, with the summary statement of operations, this is looking back. This is looking from January 1st to October 31st. So this is so far this year. You'll see, you'll be able to kind of match up the line items that are in the budget, right? You've got the top stuff, the 1,001 full-time salaries, part-time salaries, all the way down. So you can see in the first column what we budgeted, any amendments to that throughout the year, right? So looking on that first page, we made a big amendment down in 3018 of $17,000. That was probably the air conditioner situation, or I don't remember what it is, but there's some ordinance attached to that amended amount right there. And so then you have what the amended budget is. Any transactions that looks like within a monthly time frame, any transactions with the year to date, the balance of that specific line item, and then the percent used. So I can go over here and say, well, judge, you're asking for $17,000 in general supplies in line 2001. But if I look on my statement of operation expenditures report, and this wouldn't be accurate today, but I can say, you know, you've only spent 54% of that budget. So why do we need to give you $17,000 next year? You know, that's, I'm not saying that's something we want to do, but that's a way of looking at this. Or you can say in the line item below that, small equipment, wow, they spent 175% of their small equipment budget. So how's that possible? That's possible because everything within that 2000 series expenditure code, so everything in that supply section, as long as he doesn't spend above the bottom line, they don't have to ask us for movements within that category. Does that make sense?
Move within categories.
With it,
they're allowed to have a negative in the line item.
Yes.
So as long as their bottom number is good,
yes,
they don't move money.
So if that's it, so down there in this where it says subtotal supplies, as long as that bottom number is good, and you can see they've only spent 44%. So although he spent 175% out of 2002 small equipment, when it comes down to the bottom line, the money's still there. And so it's all good. And they don't have to come ask us to spend it out of a different line item. As long as it's in that category, they're good.
The only place that's not true is in personal services, and that's in the 1000 category. Each one of those line items is considered a category on its own. So full-time salaries cannot be in the negative. We have to make that right away. Same with part-time, Social Security matching, retirement matching. Anything in 1000 is considered a category. Each line item is a category on its own. Does that make sense?
Do y'all have any questions on that?
I'm just going to clarify one thing, and it's just a clarity that not 1,000 county general, but 1,000 as far as personal services.
Personal services.
As an expenditure code, not the fund 1,000, just so that everybody's clear.
And y'all, do y'all see the coding issues, like when from the ordinances, like the 1,000, 0100, and then the line item number 1,000, when we bring that ordinance to y'all, this is basically our coding. Codes that are the same thing in that thing, statement of operations, should match this to the exact one.
Does that make sense? Rolling, the wheels are turning. All right. So when you're looking at the judge's budget, and this is before you, and you're looking at it and the changes, and you can see. You can see the changes that we made from 2022 to 2023 in this budget as you look at it. You know, I'm just looking at it, and one big change that I see is in 3009, other professional services went from $45,000 to $135,000. You know, why do you need a $90,000? Why do you need a 200% increase in the other professional services line item? I don't remember the answer to that, but I'm sure the question was asked.
I don't know what exactly happened there, but I think that was through an ordinance.
Yeah.
At the first of the year.
Okay, it could have been. Yeah, I don't remember.
Was that 1,000? I mean, in the judges.
In the judges, yes.
You know, 56,000 of it is the air conditioning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is in. Other professional services, I think that was when we were working out some salary people.
All right, any questions about this? I just want to make sure you are comfortable and you know what you're kind of looking at here. What questions do you have? Like if you're looking at this, just tell me your thoughts.
When this budget meeting starts, budgets are going to come before us, I guess, by department?
Yep, okay. Just like this.
Okay, and so we'll know, okay, on this particular night, we're going to be appropriating these departments.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I sent that, I think, to y'all the other day, and I sent a bunch of codes. That's why, right?
And
you're probably like, what the heck is this? But it's like at the top of this one, it says 1,000.0100.
Uh-huh.
Like,
so now I know that that's okay. And so then we're going to have we're going to see what they had last year,
mm-hmm,
and what they're asking for this year.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the difference between the
and
two.
And the difference between.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can ask questions.
Yep.
And then make appropriations. That's basically it. That's
the gist of it. We can ask. Yep. We ask questions. And if we don't like their answer, this is where it gets, it gets a little sticky, right? Because We don't like to be the bad guy, and we don't like to say no to anybody. Yeah. But if it gets a little sticky, well, Judge, why do you have a $90,000 increase in other professional services? You know, well, you know, if they're not prepared and they don't have a good answer, we can say, what we would do is go in and amend it, right? So I want to amend line item 3009 to say $45,000.
So we're amending the budget that they're proposing?
Yes, that they're requesting.
Okay. Does each amendment have to have its own motion?
I guess you could make, if you wanted to make one motion to amend multiple line items, you could. But any adjustments?
Sorry.
Yeah, no.
So, because we'll be looking at the whole budget. Mm-hmm. We'll have looked at that. So we could kind of address it in a swoop.
Yeah, yeah.
So are you saying if there's an answer that as none of us like in a sense of what we've asked, you have the ability to make an amendment at that moment?
Yeah, yeah. When the budget is before us, that's when we can make amendments. Because as soon as we say, all right, as soon as Budget and Finance says, yes, I approve, we approve, yeah, motion to approve the county judge's budget.
Mm-hmm.
Approve it, it goes into the budget. So it won't be amended. It could be amended once the whole budget goes before quorum court. It could then be amended. It's a little more difficult because it's in front of the whole court, but it's still possible, if that makes sense.
So what happens to that $90,000 that we just amended?
It just goes back in the pot.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to speak on one thing real quick, and forgive me because I don't recall. Typically what we do when we start a new budget is we budget off the original, not off the amended budget. Okay?
Does that make sense when he says that?
Okay.
You have to look at the statement of operations report.
So where, if you're on this first page, and 38, and down at expense line 3018, they had $17,000 in amendments from 30,000 to 47. The budget that's going to show up, you know, when you're going to appropriate 24, should be that $30,000 for 2023. And if they want that amendment again going forward, they'll ask for it. Okay. Now, and I'll tell you the reason that was done like that. The way our budget system is set up and our expense system is set up is if I have, and just very simply, I have a $100,000 budget and I go and buy a $50,000 pencil sharpener, okay? I decide in a few days, and I write the check and it goes out expenses against my budget. It's an expense. My budget is $50,000, okay? I decide I didn't want that. So I take it back and I get a refund check. And so when that refund check goes back in, it goes in as a revenue, but I still only have $50,000 in my budget. So I go to the quorum court and say, hey, I have a $50,000 revenue come in. It was not anticipated, appropriated. Put that back in my budget. And they do. So that I have $100,000 in my budget again. But my budget just got amended from $100,000 to $150,000. So if that happens and people are working off amended budget, they expand that budget by doing nothing more than buying items and returning. Nobody does that, okay, as a practice to expand their budget. But it does happen through expenditures and reimbursements. And it's all about how we're set up through a expenditure and refund situation. And that's why we go back to the original budget. It cuts all of that out.
Any more questions on this one as we talk through it? I have one other example to give you because this one's kind of, it's very in depth because it's a county general fund, and I want to walk you through one that's not a county general fund because, I guess probably the majority of our budgets are not in county general. Are y'all ready for that? Do y'all have any more questions on this one? All right, I'd rather spend 3 hours here tonight than y'all be confused the first night we show up, so. Y'all just tell me. All right, so let's flip to, I'm going to have to look at my table of contents here so I know where to go. I want to go to Fund 2000. We're going to look at the, so 85. page 85. And then we're also going to look at page, I'll make you flip again. Little I, and then page 85.
Mr. Chairman, can I interrupt you one more time? I'm sorry for doing this. I just want to kind of get back on before we get too far down the line.
Yeah.
When Tyler's talking about you're going to see different departments in different, and you may have gone over this while I was looking at some of this. When you see different departments in different funds, so you may see like three different funds, one night. Typically, the way they set that up is, say the sheriff's office is coming in. Well, instead of having them come in eight different times, they have them come in one time. They'll work the county general, their sales tax, their 30, 17, 30, 18, 30, you don't have 30, 26, do you, Chad? No, that's somebody else's. They've got about five or six, right? And so instead of having them do one, come back, do another, we'll roll them all the way through. And when they get done, they get done. And they can walk out. So it's a matter of convenience, essentially, for the elected to for that to happen. Makes it a little bit more difficult on you, especially when you're trying to tie county general, sheriff's department versus prosecuting attorney versus this or that. But we'll try to do some things that make it as easy as possible on you.
So we've got the budget, the county road budget, right? Fund 2000. So it's a totally different fund than we were looking at earlier. We were looking at the county general, which is fund 1000. This is fund 2000. So it's a completely separate revenue source, right? Like this revenue is written into the state constitution. This is county road money. Can't be spent on nothing else. So it sits in its own fund, so we kind of, we just know that's what it is. So flipping back over to II, you can see their projections, right? You have a fund balance of almost $4 million, the different types of projected revenues we see, and so total funds available, $12,745,000. The fund reserve, the available to appropriate, and they budget below that. Now, county road shop generally comes, so they won't spend all that 9.5, right? Depending on the rain and the cold and everything else and how much they can pave, they don't spend all that. So that rolls back into the carryover, which will show up in the fund balance amount. But generally, about halfway through the year or so, the county road shop will come and ask for more money, but they've got it. You know, they come and ask for another million or $2 million to do some more paving with if the weather's right and working for them. So you're able to see the budget. You're able to kind of look at their projected revenue and how their budget request fits in. Is their budget request less than the available to appropriate? Yes. Fantastic. And like Scott said, it's not a big deal that they're in this one, that their budget request is more than their 2023 projected revenue. Because it's more than that. But that's okay this year because they've got a fund balance. It's a little different because they're County Road 2000. Because I would say, all right, if County Road 2000 wants to appropriate $11,470,000, go for it. Like, it's your money. You know, and that kind of comes down to the amount of control we want to exercise as a quorum court. Because you can say, this is your fund. This is your money. You're only living out of this. You ain't coming back into county general, right? Because a lot of times once we kick somebody out of county general, we put up a hard wall on them not getting back in. You know, go spend it. If you run out, you run out. Sorry about you. You have to wait till next year to get more money. That's a harsh stance. I don't know if we don't necessarily do that, but we don't have to either because they're good doing their jobs.
So where we have those two numbers, you know, the budget request is a little bit higher than the projected revenue. What is that 2% commissions? Is in front of the city going
to
make that?
That goes to, I believe, Scott's office, and that's written in law. You'll see that in other places throughout the budget is that that goes to the operations, just the operations of the treasurer's office.
And then what's not spent is sent back out to the tax and
use. Yep. What's
not spent in Scott's office is then sent back out to the taxing units, like the schools, the fire departments, whoever, all the people we pay taxes back to, or they get part of the taxes we collect. They're called taxing units.
Mm-hmm.
Does that go into both the treasurer's automation and the collector's automation, or?
No, that just goes into the treasurer's automation.
The collector has a set.
The collector gets a 4%, well, it ends up being a 3% of all revenues that she collects that goes into her cost fund.
So it makes me ask this.
She can spend out of it, or she can choose to send some back to the taxing units. It never comes back to county general, though.
So as I look at the county treasurer's automation, the projected revenue was $65,000, but this says the last 2% commissions is $180,000. So, like,
I bet if you wait 5 minutes,
I'll know an answer. So, anyways, but that's that 2% commission. It goes to. Well, I just see that the county treasurer automation, the projected revenue is $65,000, but for county road, the last 2% commissions is $180,000. So it doesn't make sense that if that whole $180,000 goes into the treasurer's automation, why is his projected revenue only $65,000? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, that's a good point right there.
Under county, two funds down, under county treasurer automation, fund 3,000, the projected revenue for that fund was $65,000. Mm-hmm. So I was saying, well, if he gets the $180,000, why is the projected revenue only $65,000? And that's just from that fund. That doesn't count from the other funds that gets that 2%. So we have the county road shop budget, 2,000. We have the projection that we can look at. And then you also, in your statement of operations packet, you can see the county road thing as well. So you can use this to look and see. In some past courts, it's honestly, guys, the amount of control that we want to assert over the department heads. We could say, I don't think we've ever done this. We could say, show us the projects you want to do. Show us how much those projects cost, and we'll fund you for the first three quarters of the year to pay for those projects. You know, you could squeeze them like that if you wanted to. Generally, we give them all the money they ask for. They go do the projects, and that's that. Over past years, they fought about, in this budget, a couple pages over, you'll see machinery and equipment is $200,000. What are y'all going to buy with $200,000? You know, the answer might be, well, you know, we need a new road grader and three new dump trucks, you know. Or, well, we don't know, it's just there in case we do need something. Well, we're going to take it away until you do need something, you know. That's really, like I said, that's up to us on how much control you want to assert over that. And that doesn't just go for this, that goes for most of them, but the more you do that, you know, then they're going to come in here more often asking for things, and you got to approve it or not approve it or whatever. Does that all make sense?
In an instance like that where they're asking for $200,000, and they don't know what they're going to use it for,
mm-hmm.
would it make sense to look at previous years and say, okay, well, it makes sense because the last 3 years you asked for this amount, and that's been pretty much what you've worked with?
Yeah.
And
you
kind of go from.
Yeah, because you can look back. I'm just going to look at this one. I haven't looked at it, but looking at this one, looking at the statement of operations, it looks like so far this year they've used 171% of that line item on machinery and equipment. It looks like they've spent $343,000 on machinery and equipment instead of the $200,000. So they kind of got money from these county matching advance and Arkansas Highway Department and other construction project line items to pay for the extra machinery and equipment they needed to buy.
And just to clarify, so if there's money, okay, for county roads, this
mm-hmm.
is money that can only be used on county roads, mm-hmm. it's in their own thing, blah, blah, blah. They ask for X amount of dollars, and say, that sounds great, go do your work. And there's money left over. That money rolls over for them?
Mm-hmm. Yep, they never leave that fund.
So I just don't see why we would squeeze them. And maybe I'm missing something.
Nope.
But, okay.
Yep, you're right.
Unless you don't agree with, well,
I think there's somebody that's been run.
So you could say there was a little debate about when the county spent $1 million on the Salem Road roundabout. You know, so if our county's, if the road foreman's going around building all these roundabouts in Conway and we don't agree with that, we can say, no, we're not giving you any more asphalt money until you start building county roads. That's just an example. I'm not saying it's right or wrong.
Let me give you a real life. This is prep. The emergency squad, and I'm on video right now, and I don't mind saying, but the emergency squad is a lightning rod right now. And there's a lot of issues surrounding the emergency squad. And they have a budget of about $100,000 a year that comes from home court. And even though that money's there, this one court may say, we don't trust sending the money out to you, and so we're not going to appropriate more than a dollar until y'all come with a better plan for what we agree with spending. So there's an example where they have the money. It's in the bank.
It's only their money.
You have the authority to decide whether or not they get to use it. Just like if your kid has money in the bank and they're 16 years old, and Grandpa may have given them $2,000, but you may not deem it necessary for them to spend it at that time.
And it stays there.
That stays there, yeah.
Thank you.
You know, my favorite saying that I like to use is, I was chosen by my neighbors to come here and hold county government spending accountable, you know, like, and that's what we're doing. We're exercising that accountability over the functioning of our government. And like Phil said, if they're not being held accountable and they're doing stupid stuff, then it's our job to step in and to hold them accountable for the stupid things that they're doing. Good? There you go. So yeah, why wouldn't we give them that money? Well, they're doing stupid stuff.
They're doing stupid stuff, yeah.
Now, what you think is stupid and what I think is stupid could be two different things. That's when we start voting on stuff.
Yeah.
Any questions about that? And I brought up County Road because when you look at the funds, like you said, it's their money. It's no one else's money. Same thing with a majority of these other funds that you get into after County General. It's just that department's fund. There's something in state law or something else that says this money can only be spent on child support. You can't spend it on nothing else. It just comes in and it goes out. So anyways, any questions about that?
And if you would like to learn all of that stuff,
mm.
there is a county financial management guide put out by Legislative Audit. That's pretty much our guide about where revenues go and where expenditures come from and just about everything that you can think of and a lot of things you can't think of. That has been laid out by Legislative Audit so that all counties do accounting and do their finances roughly in the same way. I think that guide came out in 2014. But it shows what revenues go into what funds and why. And it'll give you the statute. And I've got a book that's built that some statutes, and we have some funds, the 3,400 funds, that were just built by ordinances. We as a county make those up. But we do have the ordinances on file that show, hey, this was set up by this, here's the ordinance, and here's the revenues that go into it, and the expenditures that come out of it. As I was talking about, most of these agency funds are one department. Criminal justice sales tax has three departments in it, but all controlled by the sheriff, if I'm correct. So you don't have a lot of, I mean, other than jail and dispatchers, FICA gets more, but I think they can handle that out internally. And don't really have much there. Your ARP and your county general are going to be the two. If there is contested anything, that's going to be where it's at. Okay. And I don't want to sidetrack you, Tyler, but I put together a little bit of information about appropriations in county general that I'm working on for another JP right now. But this is just kind of preliminary. I'll share them with you if y'all want to talk about them. If you don't, then we'll wait till it comes out. But this is what we talked about about the different percentages and
yeah,
what percentage.
Yeah, that's fine. That'd be good to look at and talk about.
I'm going to take this and let y'all pass that around. I don't want to interrupt you if you've got something that you want to talk about.
Ask that question before we get started on the episode.
Okay, yes. Scott, we're looking at your less 2% commissions on some of these funds, and weren't certain if they were all yours. If they were all yours, where do they, what fund do they go
into?
So
everything, let's see here. All revenues, non-grant, non-reimbursement, 2% other than school funds. School funds is 0.25%, I believe. And I'm going to get a little bit off, but that seems like special improvement districts, fire districts, that is maybe 0.125%. I can't recall that just off the top of my head. So those collections are coming in, okay? And then at the end of the year, whatever I collect there, we'll pay for my office expenses. Plus, I'm allowed up to 10% of those commissions to put in my treasury automation fund. That's the 3,001, I believe, is that number. Maybe 3,000.
3,000.
3,000, okay. So I can put up to 10% of that. What doesn't get spent there goes back in excess treasurer's commissions, okay? That usually comes in about, that revenue usually comes in about March. So we'll take all of our expenditures all the way out through it. We can spend through February against last year's what we call period 13. So when February's done, then a lot of times that's when I do my excess. If I know that I don't have any more expenses in period 13, I'll do them in January. It just kind of depends.
So what confused us a little bit as we were looking at this, and I hope you can explain it.
Sure.
Less 2% commissions. I'm just looking at County Road Fund 2000 was $180,000.
Yeah.
But if we jump down to your county treasurer automation, you only have a projected revenue of 65.
Yeah, so what I do there is, so I'll commission, I don't know, just off the top of my head, $900,000 to $1 million, okay? So 10% of that, $90,000 to $100,000.
Okay.
There's no need of me building a large fund there. I think I've got two, let me just get over there to it. I've got an old guys. I'm sorry. In 3,000. So it looks like I carried over about 186,000. I typically try to carry over about 200. It doesn't matter, 150, 200. What I do there on my projected revenue is I'd look at last year's expenses, and because that's what I'm going to move over. Instead of the 10%, instead of the 90,000, I'm going to move over whatever last year's expenses were, and they were 65,000. There's no need of me moving over 90 and spending 65 and just running up a big carryover.
So you're actually bringing in more, but most of that's being turned back.
I can keep up to 10% in my treasurer's automation, but once again, there's no need to build some sort of big bank there. Now, if I have something in the future where that the judge says you can't have that office anymore and I've got to go out and get an office somewhere, then maybe I have to.
So can we look at you versus the collector's automation then?
Oh, yeah, you can look at them both.
Yeah.
Same way with collector's automation. A collector gets 4% of all current tax and 4% of property tax. So that number is much bigger than the 250. Well, on her projected revenue there, she takes 250 from her, typically takes 250 from her collector's automation to her collector's automation instead of the, I think she can take somewhere close to 400. $353,000. So she doesn't take her full amount either. Once again, she's just not.
Yeah.
She's not building bank
neither.
There.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's up to us. Like I said, by law, we can take the 10, but we have just, and to say, instead of me dumping a big pile of money on, it's just easier not to take it at one time. That's just my opinion. Now, I'll let the collector speak for herself there, but she's been taking 250 for some time now. And when you talk about, just so that everybody kind of understands, these automation funds were put together kind of protect offices originally because they didn't have computers of their own. And they weren't being able to get, not necessarily Faulkner County, but this is a statewide thing. They weren't able to get money to have computers to automate to get to the place in which we are now. So they were setting aside percentages of that to pay for them. So their office gets paid for plus these other things for getting paid for. Now, whether I spend my money out of 1805 or spend my money out of 3001, it doesn't. It's apples on both sides. Okay, so the money is being spent. It's all paid for out of Treasurer's Commission. My money, my office expenses are repaid through Treasurer's Commission, and then this is paid. This is the 10% of the Treasurer's Commission, not fully 10%, but another portion of that Treasurer's Commission. So all of these monies are coming from the same pocket or the same revenue. It's just different spots that they're landing in order to be spent out of.
Do you have any questions about that? Good. You have any questions about anything before we hit this handout here? Got the gist of it? Got the gist of it? All right. All right, Scott, you're good.
Okay. This is, I guess I can call this a little bit of a sneak peek of what you'll see of a full report here, hopefully within the month. But I was asked by JP to kind of break down break down all funds by commitment item. So if you're looking, the first column, you will see personal service, 1,000, supplies, 2,000, other charges, 3,000, capital outlay, 4,000. Those are the commitment items that you're going to see in your budget book. Does everybody kind of follow along with that? And what I've done there also is break it down by department. But if you'll just go down to the bottom of those first columns, down there under totals, you're going to see how much personal service and county generated is $11,301,000, supplies are $509,000, other services $1.5 million, capital outlay $135,000, for a total budget of $13,467,000. Then, right underneath there, you're going to see percentages. So 83%, 3.8%, 11.3%, 1%. All of those, if you don't include the $1 million that we send to the Capital Improvement Fund. I think we need to include the $1 million Capital Improvement Fund because it's a major, I don't call it expenditure, but a major chunk of our pie. You know, when we start talking about pie. So if you look over here, two columns over, the budget with the Capital Improvement Fund transfer is $14,468. You can see that the Capital Improvement Fund takes up 6.9% of our total budget. And then if you'll drop down there in the next row, personal service is 1,000 below the 83.9%. You can see it changed when we include the Capital Improvement Fund, that changes that number to 78%. So if you're talking about including the $1 million that we move out as far as budgeting, personal services, that's anything what we call above the line, is 78% of our budget there. Okay. Does everybody understand? My stuff is a hard to read if you don't get explained. I apologize. It's just kind of how my mind works.
Sometimes. And that Capital Improvement Fund, once again, is that $1 million that we choose every year to just automatically take out and say, we're now, traditionally the conversation has been, we know we need to save for a jail. We're going to take the $1 million out and save for a jail. You know, if that amount goes up, we don't need it for a jail. We've spent it on that criminal justice building, I think, when it had issues, you know, we just appropriated $300,000 out of it. We spent it on air conditioners or locks or something at the jail before. But we could very well choose to spend $3 million of it on this building if we want to. It's just up to us. Well,
once again, that's still, even though it's in a different fund, it's still an accounting general fund, an 1800 series. So anything that, any fund that starts with a one, you can spend it however you want. We break those out just for reporting purposes, know where we are, safekeeping purposes, that type of thing. Okay? But that's, once again, that is up to y'all. One other thing to note, well, there's a couple other things to note, but if you're looking for percentage of the total budget by department, it's over there, and I wish I had my columns labeled. It's past the totals and under department percent of total budget. Okay? So there you see the county judge's budget is 6.6% of the total budget. And then I've also done it when you include capital improvement fund. Does everybody see those columns? Okay. That kind of gives you an idea of, say that again.
So that makes the sheriff's office look real nice.
Well, I mean, the sheriff's office is a big part of county general. It's I mean, it's probably, when you put them together, I would say it's, well, I can see it right now, it's the biggest part. It's a 35-45%. And so, but that's why we collect taxes, right? That's why taxes are collected, to do these public services. And that's one of them that absolutely needs to be done. As you kind of go down through there, you'll see different departments. And I'm not going to go over all these with you because I don't really know who controls all departments. But the county judge has judges, it has maintenance, it has IT. I think they control grants and aid, grants, social services, OEM, coroner.
Veterans.
Yeah, and we have veteran services as well. Yeah. And the sheriff will have sheriff. They'll have the jail. They'll have jail juvenile grant. Am I saying that right? Okay. And then, of course, you have your courts, all your circuit courts. Then your district judge's salary, prosecuting attorney, public defender. So you don't really have, there looks like a lot of departments on here, but when it all comes down to it, you've really got about 10 or 12 different electeds that are coming to get their piece of the pie, for a better lack of a better term.
You got any more on the sheet, right?
No, I think that confuses everybody plenty. I want to clear up anything that y'all have questions on. We are going to, and hopefully within the week, but there's a lot of things going on right now. I hope to have something like this for every fund. Of course, this will be the most complex one because it has the most departments in it. The others will be pretty short and sweet. But you can at least let you see what percentage of that fund is being budgeted on social services or capital improvement. Or it kind of gives you a little bit of a breakdown. If my department can get on it, and I hope to get maybe a little pie chart on this and kind of give you a break and let you physically see it. I know these numbers are one thing, but we'll put some pie charts together for people like me that see those a little bit better. I'm not guaranteeing that. Like I said, I've got a lot to do right now, but at least, if nothing else, we'll get something together for next year.
One example, as we've talked about funds, if y'all want to turn to page V, and we just touched on this a little bit. If you look at museum budget 3401, you can see their fund balance. They have a projected revenue of $74,000. That's their revenue, just like the animal shelter. It's a voluntary tax. But their budget request last year was $87,800. So it's above that projected revenue, which is whatever. That's fine. You know, but you can see their fund balance is not that great. So they're already shaving off a portion of that fund balance. And then that's something that we're really going to have to pay attention to this year. Is how much are they asking for? Do they have that available to appropriate? And we're going to ask them to cut. Now, they come up here and say, we can't cut. We don't have anything to cut. What we want to do, because y'all have the ability to do it, is we want to come ask for $20,000 from County General. So now we want a budget in County General to fund the museum. So now you have actual taxpayer dollars instead of voluntary tax dollars paying for the operations of the county museum. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying that's something that when people get outside of their restricted fund budgets, that's could be their backup, is to go get more money out of County General. But the Quorum Court has usually stood a hard line against new people coming into County General trying to get money, because it's already spread thin as it is. That makes sense.
Except there are some offices required by law that y'all fund them if they come back to you. One, that will be the circuit clerk's office.
Yes. Yeah. 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 I was going to say, we kicked the circuit clerk out of County General, but we didn't kick them out of County General. They made the proposal, and we were able to move them out of County General because they had a lot of revenue coming in. And so as I talked with Nancy about her fund and stuff, I said that's something we'll keep an eye on over the next 2, 3, 4 years with the real estate market changing as it is, and deeds, property deeds and things moving around. We'll keep an eye on that, and if we need to crack the door back open for you to come into County General, there's some appropriations and some expenditures that can be shift it around. That makes sense. Y'all have any questions? Do you feel equipped? Getting there? Y'all got this, so you can kind of read through this if you want to. That's the just the sheet with words on it that I handed out. Okay, so you know what we're looking at for Thursday. I sent y'all an email with all the codes that just look like googly garble, I'm sure, to you. But as you go through this book, you'll be able to see how those codes match up. Now, ideally as well, all those budgets will be put on the county website or emailed to you, or you know, both or whatever, before we show up here. Because the judge's office right now has all these budgets returned from the elected officials, maybe not 100%, but a majority of them returned from the elected officials, and they're working on putting them in this sheet. Correct? Correct. All right. Sarah does that. Putting them in these sheets for us to be able to look at and make sense of. It also helps because we will have with us the new projections as well. Scott will have those ready, and the budget request will be plugged into this for 2024.
We should have both revenue projections and carryover numbers at our next meeting. I wait till after October to do my carryover. I've got projections ready, but I wait till October to do my carryovers because it's less, one less month we spend and one less month I have to project a revenue. And so we also get a lot of our tax money in by 1st of November, so we've got a really good idea of where we are as far as ad valorem tax goes.
One thing that I don't know if we'll have that we may need to ask for our statement of operations reports. How have those been handled in the past?
They're generally sent out to us, but if you want them, they're like 100 pages, so I don't know if you want them.
I think they have access. Don't the JPs have access to those?
This group probably does not, but I can give y'all access. The only thing when I give you access, I need y'all accessing them, because if you don't use it, I have to shut you off after like 3 months.
I feel like these were linked on the website last year somewhere.
I think Sarah sent them to you.
The first one will be the department, and the next one right over is the actual statement.
Okay, perfect. So that'll be on the website. They won't print them off for us, but they'll be on the website. So you may bring your iPad with you so you can pull that up and we can look. You can look at the statement of operations report. You'll have the budget request in front of you. You'll have the fund projections in front of you as well.
Do you access the system?
I can. Yeah. Okay. I have been. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't know how to work it most of the time.
If you want access to it, I will give you access to it. I just, if you don't use it, it will get shut off, but it can always be turned back on with a phone call name. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if y'all want it, just raise your hand and I'll get you set up successfully.
So as let's just pick one. Let's go back to, I guess, county judge's budget. As page one, as we look at these budgets, as they start coming before us, one decision we have to make, and it's a important piece of the conversation, and it's up to us. After talking with Scott and Randy and Tom, they're essential in putting together the budgets and everything. We've got to talk about the COLA. So the COLA is the cost of living adjustment that every year gets added into the budget. So as we, if we see a budget in front of us right here on page one that says appropriation, we can pretend it says 2024, what they're asking for, we probably need to go the route of having a COLA in there already. Because we can look at this, and if you're looking at it without a COLA, then that's going to be whatever the COLA is, somewhere between 3 and 6%, say, then that's going to be off by that amount. And it's going to be off by that amount and the fund projections as well. So it behooves us probably to start assuming a COLA in here. Now, it can always be adjusted. I think the past 2 years we've adjusted it when it came to full court because of how the budgets shook out or whatever the situation was. We ended up adjusting that. But So I think after talking to Scott, and y'all can say you agree or disagree, whatever you think, is that we may bake in about a 5% COLA into these budgets as they're seen before us. And based off his projections, he thinks that's definitely doable for us. And we'll see as we shake these budgets down, right? So as we go through the budgets, if a 5% COLA is baked in, we come through and we come through it, we come to the end, and we get our final fund projection sheet, and someone is not cutting the snuff, you know, someone's asking for more than they've got, than they can ask for, then we can make those adjustments right there. Does what I'm saying make sense?
Yeah. So does a COLA percentage, is it the same across the board?
Be the same across the board for everybody.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
Can I have a minute?
Yes, yes, yes.
I can kind of explain to you what I've done a little bit and kind of where we're sitting. Everybody knows COLA is cost of living adjustment, correct? And the reason we're doing that is trying to keep up with this inflation. And we, you know, we're in a hyperinflationary period. Everybody sees it every day, right? Last year, before the budget season, we tried to make essentially a baseline of salaries. There were some, and y'all have seen it through some of our committee stuff already, there were some left behinds and some things like that we've talked about, which we knew there were going to be, okay? But for the majority of the county, besides the court, unfortunately, we got them right. We got them going into 2024. We felt like that we had 2023. We felt like that they were in good shape. The inflation for October to October is what I'm looking at, because that's kind of when September to September numbers, what we're looking at is, and that's kind of how I'm looking at inflation. It doesn't matter what part of the year, as long as you're doing a 12-month period, right? Inflation for September to September was 7.9%. Okay. For this year, September to September, it's roughly 4%. We're looking at 11.9% inflation over these 2 years after we set the baseline. We did a 4% COLA last year. And so that we didn't really keep up with, we got half of really the inflationary number. After doing the revenue projections, not the carryover, just the revenue projections, this is for county general only, I feel comfortable in saying that we can do a 6% COLA. And that's what I'm going to suggest, is 6% COLA. Now I've still got to punch it through all the rest of the funds and make sure that they can handle 6%. But this, once again, this is up to y'all. It's not up to me. I do appreciate y'all, and it's something that I've said from day one, is need to put a priority on county employees. And I think we finally did it last year. And because last year was a lot of catch up, and we cut up a lot in that baseline number, but we didn't quite finish it out by getting everybody the COLA to keep up with the CPI or to keep up with the inflation.
Did you say inflation was what?
7.9 last year.
And we gave a 4%.
And we gave 4, correct.
And
what I'm trying to do here and what I'm proposing, I'm not doing a thing. Y'all are doing it. I'm just proposing. If we can keep up with the cost of living better than we have in the past, then, of course, all this has to do with make sure we have enough revenue, and we do. If we can keep up with that in the past, we don't have to see a big chunk like we did last year, you know, trying to get to that baseline number. We can be a little bit more competitive. And I think it'll help all departments, not only keeping their people, but maybe hiring new ones. So that's just my spiel for 6. We're going to take whatever y'all give us.
And I'm just remembering the conversation from last year. You know, I forget the initial COLA that was pitched. I can't remember if it was 6 or 8 or something like that. But that's when we started the conversation of some department, and I don't even remember, so I hope I'm right. Some department heads felt like some of their positions didn't necessarily need that 8% or that 6% increase. So that's when we had a conversation as a court, stepped it down to 4, but then came back around in the spring and did all those raise increases, more pointed, more sniper approach on the positions on where they needed to be. So if you look at some of these positions, I mean, you could probably see them in the budget today. If you look at some of these positions, and the difference in them. They might have, over that year or so period of time, they might have seen a higher increase than just the COLAs, but other ones have just seen the COLAs.
In our last budget meeting, probably positioned ourselves to do so in the spring.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Tyler, you were asking a while ago, is this across the board? Yes, COLA is 100% every time across the board. That's what it is. It's
laid on top.
It's to get everybody with a, you know, price of milk goes up. That's just part of life, you know. And so it looks like we're coming off of this, what I would call a hyperinflationary period, which is good, you know. In a normal situation, inflation at 2.5 to 3% is good. 8% is not. You know, your deflation is no better than high inflation. But we're getting back to a normal deal. And you've seen these interest rates, which we're doing great on interest rates and that type of thing here. But hacking those interest rates will slow things up, and we're going to come back into a normal deal. Recession is something we're also kind of looking at, you know, and you may have heard me talk about that before. I feel like it's coming. I'm no economist, but it sure feels that way. We're down for a third month on our sales tax revenue, and that tells me a whole lot. Our number one revenue, not necessarily countywide, but county general wide. It is countywide too, but county general, our big pusher is ad valorem tax. And I think that, you know, may have heard me say our assessment was 6.24% higher than 2023 or last year's. And so we can pretty much know that we're going to see a 6% increase in ad valorem tax collection. It's not going to be exactly, but it's going to be pretty bad close. Those things, they'll come in. Sometimes the timing is different, whether they're paid current or paid delinquent, but that tax money is going to come in this county. So that's just some of the stuff. I'm sorry.
Can we look at that with the 6% you mentioned? If we start adding that 6% and we're looking at that, is that possible?
It's up to you guys, really. You know, because, and Jake's seen this before, is that, you know, we can pass. This is the work of this committee, right? We're going to do all this stuff. We're going to pass this whole book basically onto the full court and say, here's our budget, you know, pass it or don't. And then they can make amendments and stuff. 2 years ago, Budget and Finance Committee was able to pass a budget with a 12% cost of living adjustment in it. That was the Budget and Finance Committee. When it got to quorum court, it shook out to be 4%. It was the same the next year. Like I said, it was 6 or 8. I don't remember what the original number was, but when it got to quorum court, it was adjusted down to 4. So, yeah, we can start at 6. And we can, because Scott's saying he thinks that based off our projections that we can afford 6, because it's important what we can afford and what we can't afford. So we can start there, and the numbers are never usually negotiated up, you know. It's probably not going to get to full court, and they're all going to say, well, let's do 8, you know. Normally goes down. So if we want to start at 6, we can start there and then adjust the budget.
Yep. When you say it started at 6, are you saying go down to what?
I'm saying what the amounts today that are within that are appropriated for all these salary line items, we would add 6% to that, and that's what would be budgeted for 2024. Plus it would be any increases. So Judge Weaver's person who came in here the other day, and we gave them $71,000. They would see a 6% increase on top of that, in addition to. So it's an across the board thing. You know, we've made multiple increases throughout the year in different salaries, and so they would get that 6% as well. Does that make sense?
We still have control of amending that certain position up or down. Mm-hmm.
When their budget lands in front of us, we can do any amendments that we like to their budget. I say any amendments we like. A lot of this Social Security matching, retirement, obviously we don't want to be amending that stuff, but, you know, any of the other stuff.
They will adjust based off that top number.
Correct. Yeah, those will just adjust based off the salaries.
So when we get the email beforehand, it will categorize what we're looking at so we can sort of study that as we come into this? Like,
it'll have the budget.
It's going to look like this budget book that you're looking at. It's going to look just like this, except it's going to have a line of the difference that we're asking for.
The third column will have the difference.
Tell us which ones we're talking about that night.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah. It'll line up for what you're going to be dealing with for committee meeting by committee.
Because it may be all posted to the county website, and maybe up to Sarah, maybe all posted to the county website to say, you know, November 2nd, these are the budgets. November 7th, these are the budgets. Yeah.
When I send out notice, I'll list whose budget's going to be dealt with. And Sarah will have her side of that as well.
It's on our website. There's tabs for everything that happened last year.
Well, what's it under on the website?
It's on our Fulton County website.
What was that?
Meeting info. And then there'll be past years, and you can poke into 2022.
Other information on y'all's page?
Yeah.
Go to the 2011 to 2022 meeting.
Okay.
And then
click on meeting info.
In the 2022 meeting information, you'll go down on the right side. There's one tab called, it's highlighted in yellow, 2023 budget meeting documents. Everything's right there.
Okay, right.
The very last one there.
So very bottom. And then go to the bottom one again. On the right side of the page, there's one that's highlighted in yellow. Closer to the bottom. It's in October. Click on that.
That's
every night. That's what meetings we had. On the left side, you've got the budget. On the right side, you have the statement of operation. And you can open it.
And that'll change. That's all last year's stuff.
Last year's,
so that'll be, it'll look the same for this year. It'll just be this year's numbers.
So we decided we're going to add the 6% to that. So when we're looking at numbers, that'll already be added on there. We don't have to answer.
Yeah. And we've all, everyone's expressed through nods. So this is not something. Does anyone want to mention? You think we need to? Philly, you think we need to motion that?
You don't have the budgets in front of you.
There we go. There's nothing to motion on. So we'll just take it in.
Let's just do that.
Yeah, we'll do it. I'm seeing enough nods. What do y'all think? Y'all feel prepared?
Yes, sir.
And we're taking it easy first. The first budgets are the ARP ones. So most of those are just cut and dry. There is one of ARP budgets includes Tom's salary. Or a portion of Tom's salary, because he's the ARP administrator. I think the museum budget, the library budget, maybe even the emergency squad budget. I can't remember which ones. Kind of those that have their own voluntary tax fund with them. I think those are the ones. I can't remember. Whatever I sent in the email. So it'll be a first, you know, hopefully an easy first night, minus any emergency squad conversations. They might be on there too, I don't remember. Yeah. Anybody with like a voluntary tax, I think. I did. Yes.
Have y'all talked about soil conservation extension kind of how?
No.
Okay. So we can talk about it then. It's not a big deal. Soil conservation and extension typically run off of whatever they revenue the year before and budget it for the next year. Just kind of way, kind of an agreement that we've somewhat had, just a handshake kind of deal. I don't guess it's a handshake. It's just like, hey, is this okay with y'all? I said, yeah, it's fine with that. So you'll see no revenue. Even though they'll have a revenue, we don't project a revenue in those two funds.
And guys, besides the power of persuasion and influence, really the only power that we have is the power of the purse. So this comes down to it. You know, like if you've got questions, if you've got stuff you want to know, you know, that's, you get to dangle their budget out there and say, just speaking from a JP perspective. Yeah, just don't get too carried away. No. No, I mean, but yeah, you can ask.
If you've got some that are real deep or something, you might call that elected official ahead of time.
Yes,
and
definitely.
Knock that out. common courtesy thing would be to do that. Because y'all can reach out to any one of us individually and discuss our budgets with us.
Yeah, because the budgets come out, and if you see big things, you can always call and have that conversation with that elected official before we show up that night. You know, it's up to you on how much, you know, it's up to us on how much of the business we want to conduct here at this table in front of the cameras versus you talking to Margaret. Now, that's not necessarily conducting business. That's you getting a better understanding of what she has going on. Sometimes you might want to voice that you asked her that question and that she provided this answer just to provide the public transparency. It's really up to you and your own perspective.
But as a courtesy, let's Margaret know that that question's coming and she...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. As being an elected or a department head, if somebody asks you an off-the-wall question that you don't have the numbers there, the only thing you can say is, I'll have to get back to you on that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't do anybody any good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But if you give somebody a heads up, they've got it there for you. You say, hey, I'm wondering about this. Then if you want to talk about it here or whatever, then that gives real answers, you know, because you can ask me something about my office right now and I want to tell him I can get back to you. And, you know, how much we spent on staples? I don't know. I just bought some staples. I want to let y'all know that I'm always available. Whatever you need, call me. Come see me, whatever you need. I can explain some of it. Now, like I said, we may have to go, and I'll go with you to other department heads if you feel more comfortable doing that. And talking to them, so and kind of let them kind of be a buffer if I need to. So whatever y'all need from me, just let me know, and I'll do my best.
I met with Wes Scarman yesterday, and I had some questions just about budget and just how maintenance they bring. And he showed me his budget, and he had for the upcoming one that he's already turned in, and it had everything we saw and the differences. And then when I saw some of the differences, I was like, "Why is that so much?" And he said, "Well, you know, we need a dump trailer or." And so when I actually got with him and he showed me why that was so much higher and why we needed that item, I did a little bit.
That's a good call out because with the new county judge, right, they're over those different departments. They may choose to put more emphasis on maintenance or veteran services. And so we may see some of those bigger shifts this year because we have a new county judge who's deciding how to better organize the budgets and setting their priorities with those appropriations and their budgets.
So that was sort of part two.
Absolutely, yeah. And the sheriff's is a big deal too. They've got a lot going on. They got multiple funds. They've got a lot going on. If we get a new sheriff in, they could decide, well, I'm gonna shift all this stuff. Do y'all have any other questions before we adjourn? Feel like you got something out of it? Okay. Perfect.
First one goes.
Yeah, it'll be good. All right. Y'all good? Me?
Yes.
All right. Meeting adjourned. Thank y'all so much.
Thank you very much.